This is cassette number 7.
Kaylin struggled to run toward the horse, but Richard clutched her around the waist.
"Where are you taking him?"
she demanded. Nikki stopped her horse momentarily and gazed down at Kaylin with a look of frightening finality.
"Why, into oblivion."
Chapter 22. As she watched Nikki turn her dappled mare toward the pass and the distant blue mountains beyond, Kaylin was still struggling to overcome her dizziness from what the woman had done to her. Off near the distant trees, a doe and her nearly grown fawn, two of the small herd of deer that frequented the meadow, stood at alert, their ears perked, watching Nikki, waiting to see if she might be a threat. Spooked by what they saw when Nikki turned their way, both deer flicked their tails straight up and bounded for the trees. Kaylin refused to allow herself to give in to the disorientation, but for Richard's iron arms around her waist, she would have thrown herself at the Sister of the Dark. Kaylin had desperately wanted to unleash her confessor's power. No one had ever deserved it more. Had her senses not still been floundering in a daze, she might have been able to invoke her power through the Kandar, the blood rage of an ancient ability she possessed. Such rare magic would have bridged the relatively small distance, but reeling from the lingering force of Nikki's conjuring, the attempt had been futile. It was all Kaylin could do to keep her feet under her and her last meal in her stomach. It was frustrating, infuriating, and humiliating, but Nikki had surprised her, and with magic as swift as Kaylin's confessor's power had taken her before she could react. Once Nikki's talons clutched her, Kaylin had been powerless. She had grown up being trained not to be taken by surprise. Confessors were always targets. She knew better. Any number of times in similar situations she had prevailed. Lulled by months of tranquility, Kaylin had lost her edge. She vowed never to let it happen again, but that would do her no good now. She could still feel Nikki's vital magic sizzling through her, as if her soul itself had been scorched in the heat of the ordeal. Her insides roiled as waves of the onslaught had yet to settle down. The cold air rushing across the meadow, bending the brown grass, swept up to chill her burning face. The wind carried an unfamiliar scent into the valley, something that her jumbled senses perceived as vaguely portentous. The big pines behind the house bowed and twisted, but stood tall as the wind broke against them, with a sound not unlike waves rushing against stone cliffs. Whatever sort of magic had been unleashed in her, Kaylin was convinced Nikki had told the truth about its consequence, despite how much she hated the woman. Because of the maternity spell, Kaylin felt a connection to her, a connection that she could only interpret as affection. It was a bewildering sensation. While positively disturbing, it was also, in a way, a comforting connection to the woman beyond her vile magic and twisted purpose. There seemed to be something deep within Nikki worth loving. Regardless of Kaylin's far-fetched feelings, her perception and reasoning told her the truth of the matter. Such impressions were illusion. If she got the opportunity, she would not again hesitate for an instant to kill Nikki. "Kara," Richard said, glaring at Nikki's back as she walked her horse across the meadow, "I don't want you even thinking about trying to stop her."
"I'm not going to allow—"
"I mean it. I mean it more than any order I've ever given you. If you ever brought Kaylin to harm in such a way, well, I trust you'd never do such an evil thing to me. Why don't you go get dressed?" Kara growled a curse under her breath. Richard turned to Kaylin as the moored Sith marched off into the house. Kaylin only then really noticed that Kara was naked. She must have been interrupted in her bath. The magic Nikki used had fogged Kaylin's mind, blurring her memory of recent events. Kaylin did recall quite clearly, though, the feel of the Aegil. The shattering torture of the moored Sith's weapon had spiked through Nikki's magic like a lance through straw. Even though Kara had used her Agile on Nikki, Kaelin felt it as if it had been used directly against the side of her own neck. Kaelin gently touched Richard's jaw in sympathy, then took hold of his upper arms instead when he gave her a look that suggested no need for sympathy. His big hands closed on her waist. She stepped into his embrace and rested her forehead against his cheek.
"This can't be," she whispered. "It just can't."
"But it is."
"I'm so sorry."
"Sorry?"
"That I let her take me by surprise."
Kaelin trembled with anger at herself. "I should have been alert. If I'd done as I should have and killed her first, it would never have come to this." Richard ran a hand gently down the back of her head, holding her to his shoulder. "Remember how you killed me in a sword fight the other day?" She nodded against him. "We all make mistakes, get caught off guard. Don't blame yourself. No one is perfect. It could even be that she cast a web of magic to dull your awareness so she could slip up to you like some silent, unseen mosquito."
Kaelin had never considered that.
Caught off guard or not, though, it made her furious with herself. If only she had not been paying attention to the stupid chipmunk. If only she had looked up sooner. If only she had acted without waiting a split second to analyze the true nature of the threat, to decide if it warranted the unleashing of her devastating magic. Almost from birth, Kaelin had been instructed in the use of her power, with the mandate of unleashing it only upon being certain of the need. Much like killing, a confessor's power was the destruction of who a person was. Afterward, the person acted exclusively on behalf of the confessor, and at the direction of the confessor. It was as final as death. Kaelin looked up into Richard's gray eyes. They looked all the more gray with the gray sky behind him.
"My life is a precious and sacred thing to me," she said. "Yours is no less to you. Don't throw yours away to be a slave to mine. I couldn't stand it."
"It's not come to that yet.
I'll figure something out, but for now I have to go with her."
"We'll follow, but stay well back."
He was already shaking his head.
"But she won't even be aware."
"No. For all we know, she could have others with her. They could be waiting to catch you if you follow. I couldn't bear the thought of knowing that at any moment she could use magic or somehow find out you were following. If that happened, you would die for nothing."
"You mean you think she could hurt you to make you tell her I plan to follow?"
"Let's not let our imaginations get the better of us."
"But I should be close for when you make a move, for when you figure a way to stop her."
Richard cupped her face tenderly in his hands. He had a strange look in his eyes, a look she didn't like.
"Listen to me. I don't know what's going on, but you mustn't die just to free me."
Tears of desperation stung her eyes. She blinked them away. She fought to keep her voice from becoming a wail.
"Don't go, Richard. I don't care what it means for me, as long as you can be free. I would die happy if doing so would keep you from the enemy's cruel hands. I can't allow the Order to have you. I can't allow you to endure the slow grinding death of a slave in exchange for my life. I can't allow them to—"
She bit off the words of what she feared most. She couldn't bear the thought of him being tortured. It made her even more dizzy and sick to think of him being maimed and mutilated, of him suffering all alone and forgotten in some distant stinking dungeon with no hope of help. But Nikki said they wouldn't. Kaelin told herself that, for her own sanity. She had to believe Nikki's word. Kaelin realized Richard was smiling to himself, as if trying to commit to memory every detail of her face, while at the same time running a thousand other things through his thoughts.
"There's no choice," he whispered. "I must do this."
She clutched his shirt in her fist.
"You're doing just as Nikki wants. She knows you'll want to save me. I can't allow you to make that sacrifice."
Richard looked up briefly, gazing out at the trees and mountains behind their house, taking it all in, like a condemned man savoring his last meal. His gaze, more earnest, settled once more on hers.
"Don't you see? I am making no sacrifice. I am making a fair trade. The reality that you exist is my basis for joy and happiness. I make no sacrifice, he repeated, stressing each word. To be a slave, even if that is what happens to me, and yet know you're alive, is my choice over being free in a world in which you don't exist. I can live with the first. I can't with the second. The first is painful, the second unbearable.
Kalin beat a fist against his chest.
But you will be a slave, or worse, and I can't bear that.
Kalin, listen to me. I will always have freedom in my heart because I understand what it is. Because I do, I can work toward it. I will find a way to be free. I cannot find a way to bring you back to life. The spirits know that in the past I've been willing to forfeit my life for a just cause, and if my life would truly make a difference. In the past, I have knowingly imperiled both our lives, been willing to sacrifice both our lives, but not in return for nothing. Don't you see? This would be a fool's bargain. I'll not do it!
Kalin pulled her breaths in small gasps, trying to hold back the tears as well as her rising sense of panic.
You're the seeker. You must find a way to freedom. Of course you will. You will, I know.
She forced a swallow past the constriction in her throat as she tried to reassure Richard, or perhaps herself.
You'll find a way. I know you will. You'll find a way, and you'll come back. You did before. You will this time.
The shadows of Richard's features seemed dark and severe, cast as they were in a mask of resignation. Kalin, you must be prepared to go on.
What do you mean?
You must find joy in the fact that I too live. You must be prepared to go on with that knowledge and nothing else.
What do you mean, nothing else?
He had a terrible look in his eyes. Some kind of sad, grim, tragic acceptance. She didn't want to look into his eyes, but standing there with her hand against his chest, feeling the warmth of him, the life within him, she couldn't make herself look away as he spoke.
I think it's different this time.
Kalin pulled her hair back when the wind dragged it over her eyes.
Different?
There's something very different about the feel of this. It doesn't make sense in the way things in the past have made sense. There's something deadly serious about Nikki, something singular. She's planned this out, and she's prepared to die for it. I can't lie to you to deceive you. Something tells me that this time I may never be able to find a way to come back.
Don't say that!
In weak fingers trembling with dread, Kalin gathered his dark shirt into a wrinkled knot.
Please don't say that, Richard. You must try. You must find a way to come back to me.
Don't ever think I won't be doing my best.
His voice was impassioned, almost to the point of sounding angry.
I swear to you, Kalin, that as long as there is a breath in my lungs, I'll never give up. I'll always try to find a way. But we can't ignore the possibility just because it's painful to contemplate. I may never be back.
You must face the fact that it looks like you must go on without me, but with the knowledge that I'm alive, just as I will have that awareness of you in my heart where no one could touch it.
In our hearts we have each other and always will.
That was the oath we swore when we were married, to love and honor each other for all time. This can't change it. Distance can't change it. Time can't change it.
Richard.
She choked back her wail, but she couldn't keep the tears from coursing down her face.
I can't stand the thought of you being a slave because of me. Don't you see that? Don't you see what that would do to me? I'll kill myself if I must, so that she can't do this to you. I must.
He shook his head, the wind ruffling his hair.
Then I would have no reason to escape her. Nothing to escape for.
You won't need to escape. That's just it. She won't be able to hold you.
She's a sister of the dark.
He threw open his hands.
She will simply use another means. I won't know how to counter, and if you're dead, I won't care to.
But don't you see? He seized her by her shoulders. Kaelin, you must live to give me a reason to try to escape her.
Your own life is your reason, she said. To be free to help people will be your reason.
The people be cursed.
He released her and gestured angrily.
Even people where I grew up turned against us. They tried to murder us, remember? The lands that have surrendered into the union with Dahara will likely not remain loyal either when they see the reality of the Imperial Order's army moving up into the Midlands. Eventually Dahara will stand alone. People don't understand or value freedom. The way it now stands, they won't fight for it. They've proven it in Andorith, and in Heartland, where I grew up. What more clear evidence could be seen? I hold out no false hope. Most of the rest of the Midlands will quail when it comes time to fight against the Imperial Order. When they see the size of the Order's army and their brutality with those who resist, they will surrender their freedom.
He looked away from her as if regretting his flash of anger in their last moments together. His tall form, so stalwart against the sweep of mountains and sky, sagged a little, seeming to huddle closer to her as if seeking comfort.
The only thing I have to hope for is to get away so I can come back to you.
His voice had lost all traces of heat as he spoke in a near whisper.
Kaelin, please don't take that hope from me. It's all I have.
In the distance she could see the fox trotting across the meadow. Its thick white-tipped tail followed out straight behind as the fox made its inspection for any rodents that might be about. As Kaelin's gaze tracked its movement, from the corner of her eye she caught a glimpse of Spirit standing proud and free in the window. How could she lose the man who had carved that for her when she needed it most? She could, she knew, because now he needed what only she could give him. Looking back up into his intense gray eyes, she realized she could not hope to deny him his earnest plea and only request, not at a time like this. All right, Richard, I won't do anything rash to free you. I'll wait for you. I'll endure it. I know you. I know you won't ever give up. You know I expect no less from you. When you get away, and you will, I'll be waiting for you. And then we'll be together again. We'll never be apart in our hearts. As you said, our oath of love is timeless. Richard closed his eyes with relief. He tenderly kissed her brow. He lifted her hand from his chest and pressed soft kisses to her knuckles. She saw then how much her pledge meant to him. Kaelin pulled her hand back and quickly removed her necklace, the one Shota had given her as a wedding gift. It was meant to prevent her from getting pregnant. She turned Richard's hand over and pushed the necklace into his palm. He frowned in confusion at the small dark stone hanging from the gold chain draped over his fingers.
What's this about?
I want you to take it.
Kaelin cleared her throat to keep her voice. She could only manage a whisper.
I know what she wants of you. What she will make you do.
No, that's not what...
He shook his head.
He said, I'm not taking this,
as if turning it away would somehow deny the possibility. Kaelin put her hand to the side of his face. His face wavered before her in a watery blur.
Please, Richard, please take it, for me. I couldn't bear the thought of another woman having your child, or even the thought of the attempt at its creation.
But she didn't say that part of it.
Especially not after mine.
He looked away from her eyes.
Kaelin.
Words failed him.
Just do it for me. Take it. Please, Richard. I'm doing as you ask and will endure your captivity. Please honor my request in return. I couldn't stand the thought of that bewitching blonde beast having your child. The child that should be mine. Don't you see? How could I ever love something I hated? And how could I ever hate something that was part of you? Please, Richard, don't let it come to that.
The cold wind lifted and twisted her hair. Her whole life, it seemed, was twisting out of her control. She could hardly believe that this place of such joy, peace, and redemption, a place where she had come to live again, could be a place where it would all be taken away. Richard held the necklace out to her, as if it were a thing that might bite him. The dark stone swung under his fingers, gleaming in the gloom. "Kaylin, I don't think that's what this is about. I really don't. But anyway, she could simply refuse to wear it and threaten your life if I didn't." Kaylin pulled the gold chain from his fingers and laid it all in a small neat mound in his palm. The dark stone glimmered from its imprisonment behind the veil of tiny gold links. She closed his fingers around the necklace and held his fist shut with both of her hands. "You're the one who demands we not ignore those things that are painful to contemplate." "But if she refuses..." Kaylin gripped his fist tighter in her trembling fingers. "If it comes to a time when she makes that demand of you, you must convince her to wear the necklace. You must. For me. It's bad enough for me to think she might take my love, my husband, from me like that, but also to fear..." His big hand felt so warm and familiar and comforting to her. Her words came choked with desperate tears. She could do no more than beg, "Please, Richard." He pressed his lips tight, then nodded, and stuffed the necklace in a pocket. "I don't believe those are her intentions, but if it should turn out to be so, you have my word. She will wear the necklace." Kaylin sagged against him with a sob. He took her by the arm. "Come on, hurry. I have to get whatever I need to take. I've only got a few minutes or all this will be for nothing. I can take the shorter trail and still catch up with her at the top of the pass, but I don't have much time." Chapter 23 Kaylin was aware of Kara, wearing her blood-red leather, standing in the doorway to their bedroom watching Richard cram his things into his pack. Kaylin nodded as she and Richard exchanged brief, stilted instructions. They had already come to terms with the life-and-death issues. It seemed they both feared to say anything of consequence for fear of disturbing the delicate, desperate, difficult agreements they had reached. The meager light coming in the small window did little to brighten the gloom. Kara, over in the doorway, blocked some of the light. The room had the feel of a dungeon. Richard, dressed in dark clothes, looked like a shadow. So many times, as she lay in bed recovering, Kaylin had thought of it that way, as her dungeon. Now it had the palpable sense of a dungeon, but with the clean aroma of pine walls, instead of the stench of a stone cell from where trembling, sweating prisoners were taken to their death. Kara looked forlorn one moment, and the next like lightning seeking ground. Kaylin knew that the moored Sith's emotions had to be as torn as her own, balancing on a knife's edge with despair and grief on one side and rage on the other. Mord Sith were not used to being in such a position, but then Kara was now more than simply Mord Sith. Kaylin watched Richard pack the black trousers, black undershirt, black and gold tunic, silver wristbands, overbelt with its pouches and golden cloak into his pack, where they took up a good portion of the available space. He was wearing his dark forest garb. He didn't have time to change. Kaylin hoped a time would soon come when he would escape and again wear the clothes of a war wizard to lead them against the Order. They all needed him to lead the Dharan Empire against the invading horde from the Old World. For reasons that weren't always entirely clear, Richard had become the linchpin of their struggle. Kaylin knew his feelings about that, that people must be willing to fight for themselves and not only for him, were valid. If an idea was sound, it had to have a life beyond a leader, or the leader had failed. As he threw other clothes and small items into his pack, Richard told Kaylin that maybe she could find Zed, that he might have some ideas. She nodded and said she would, knowing Zed wouldn't be able to do anything. This terrible triangle was not liable to be susceptible to influence by outsiders. Nikki had seen to that. It was just a hope Richard was giving her, the only bouquet he could offer in the desolate void of reality. Kaylin didn't know what to do with her hands. She stood twining her fingers together as tears dripped off her chin.
There must be something to say, something important, some last words while she had the chance, but she couldn't think of them. She supposed he knew what she felt, what was in her heart, and words couldn't add anything to that. She pressed her fist against the aching knot of anxiety in the pit of her stomach. A sense of doom crowded in the room like a fourth person, a grim guard waiting to take Richard away. This was the heart of terror, being controlled by what you couldn't see, couldn't reason with, couldn't persuade or battle. The doom waited, implacable, immune, indifferent. As Kara vanished from the doorway, Richard pulled a fistful of gold and silver from an inside pocket in his leather pack. He hastily dropped roughly half back in the pack, and then held out the rest. "Take this. You might need it." "I'm the Mother Confessor. I don't need gold." He tossed it on the bed for her anyway, apparently not wanting to argue with her in their last moments together. "Do you want any of the carvings?" she asked. It was a stupid question, and she knew it, but she had to fill the awful silence, and it was the only thing to come into her head other than a hopeless plea. "No, I've no need for them. When you look at them, think of me and remember I love you." He rolled a blanket tight, wrapped it with a small patch of oiled canvas, and tied it with leather thongs to the bottom of his pack. "I guess if I were to want any, I could always carve some." Kaelin handed him a cake of soap. "I don't need your carving to remind me of your love. I'll remember. Carve something to make Nikki see that you should be free." Richard glanced up with a grim smile. "I plan on seeing to it that she knows I won't ever give in to her and the Order. Carvings won't be necessary. She thinks she has this all planned out, but she's going to find out I'm bad company." Richard jammed a fist in his pack, making more room. "Very bad company." Kara rushed back in, carrying small bundles with the corners tied in knots at the top. She plopped them down one at a time onto the bed. "I put together some food for you, Lord Rahl. Things that will keep for traveling. Dried meat and fish and such. Some rice and beans. I put a loaf of bread that I made on top, so eat it first while it's still good." He thanked her as he put the small bundles into his pack. He put the bread to his nose for a deep whiff before packing it away. He gave Kara a smile of appreciation. Richard straightened. His smile evaporated in a way that, for some reason, made Kaelin's blood go cold. Looking like he was in the throes of committing himself to some last grim deed, Richard pulled the baldric off over his head. He held the gold and silver-wrought scabbard in his left hand and drew the Sword of Truth in his white-knuckled right fist. The blade rang out with its unique metallic sound, announcing its freedom. Richard drew his sleeve up his arm and wiped the sword across his forearm. Kaelin winced as she watched. She didn't know if he cut deeply, accidentally, or on purpose. With an icy sensation, she recalled that Richard cut very precisely with any sharp steel edge. He turned the blade and wiped both sides in gouts of vivid red blood. He bathed the blade in it, giving it a voluptuous taste, whetting its appetite for more. Kaelin didn't know what he was doing, or why he was doing it now, but it was a frightening ritual to witness. She wished he would have drawn it before and cut down Nikki. Her blood, Kaelin would not fear seeing. Richard picked up the scabbard and slammed the Sword of Truth home. Blood running over his hand left greasy red smears across the scabbard as he slid his hand down the length of it to the tip, and then seized the sheathed weapon at its center point in his fist. His head bowed, his eyes on the dull silver and gold reflections lustrous even through his own blood. He loomed closer to her. Richard looked up, and Kaelin saw the lethal rage of magic dancing in his eyes. He had invoked the sword's terrible wrath, called it forth, and then put it away. She'd never seen him do such a thing before. He lifted the sword and its scabbard to her. The tendons in the back of his fist stood out in the strain. The white of his knuckles showed through the blood. "Take it," he said in a hoarse voice that betrayed the struggle within.
Spellbound, Kaelin lifted the scabbard in her palms. For that instant, until he pulled away his bloody hand, she felt a jolting shock, as if she were suddenly welded to the weapon by hot fury, unlike anything she had ever experienced. She half expected to see a burst of sparks. She could feel such rage emanating from the cold steel that it nearly dropped her to her knees. She might have dropped the weapon itself in that first instant, had she been able to let go of it. She could not. Once Richard removed his hand, the sheathed sword lost the passionate rage and felt no different from any other weapon. Richard lifted a finger in caution. The dangerous magic still glazed his eyes. The muscles of his jaw tightened until she could see it standing out all the way up through his temples. "Don't draw this sword," he warned in that awful hoarse whisper, "unless it's a matter of your life. You know the ghastly things this weapon can do to a person, not only the one under the power of the blade, but the one under the power of the hilt." Kaelin, arrested by the intensity of his gaze, could only nod. She clearly recalled the first time Richard had used the sword to kill a man. The first time he came to learn the horror of killing had been to protect her. Using the weapon that first time, unleashing the magic the first time, had nearly killed Richard as well. It had been a struggle for him to learn how to control such a storm of magic as the Sword of Truth freed. Without the rage of the sword's magic, Richard's eyes were capable of conveying menace. Kaelin could recall several times when his raptor's glare by itself had brought a roomful of people to silence. There were few things worse than the need to escape the look in those eyes. Now those eyes hungered to deliver death. "Be angry if you must use this," he growled. "Be very angry. That will be your only salvation." Kaelin swallowed. "I understand," she nodded. "I remember." Righteous rage was the only defense against the crippling pain the sword exacted as payment for its service. "Life or death, no other reason. I don't know what will happen, and I'd just as soon you'd not find out. But I'd prefer that to you being without this terrible defense if you need it. I've given it a taste of blood. It will come out voracious. When it comes out, it will be in a blood rage." "I understand." His eyes cooled at last. "I'm sorry to give you the terrible responsibility of this weapon, especially in this way, but it's the only protection I can offer." With a hand on his arm to gently reassure him, Kaelin said, "I won't have to use it." "Dear spirits, I hope not." He glanced over his shoulder, taking a last look at their room and then at Kara. "I have to get going." She ignored his words. "Give me your arm first." He saw she had bandages left over from when Kaelin was still recovering. Without objection, he held out his blood-soaked arm. Kara used a wet cloth to quickly swab his arm before she wound it in clean bandages. Richard thanked her as she was finishing. Kara split the end, put the tails around his wrists, and tied a quick knot. "We will come part of the way with you." "No, you will stay here." Richard pulled down his sleeve. "I don't want to risk it." "But, Kara, I want you to protect Kaelin. I'm leaving her in your hands. I know you won't let me down." Kara's big, beautiful blue eyes, glistening with tears, reflected the kind of pain Kaelin was sure Kara never allowed anyone to see. "I swear to protect her as I would protect you, Lord Rahl, if you swear to get away in return." Richard flashed her a brief smile, trying to ease her misery. "I'm Lord Rahl. I don't need to remind you that I've wiggled out of tighter spots than this." He kissed her cheek. "Kara, I swear I'll never give up trying to get away. You have my word." Kaelin realized he hadn't really sworn to Kara's words. He wouldn't, she knew, want to make a promise he might not be able to keep. Bending to the bed, he pulled his pack close. "I have to go." He held the strap in a stranglehold. "I can't be late." Kalin's fingers tightened on his arm. Kara laid a hand on his shoulder. Richard turned back and gripped Kalin's shoulders.
Listen to me now.
I wish you would stay here, in this house, in these mountains where it's safe for you. But I don't think anything short of my dying request could convince you to do that. At least stay for 4 or 5 days, in case I'm able to figure out what's going on and can escape Nikki. She may be a sister of the dark, but I'm no longer exactly a stranger to magic. I've escaped powerful people before. I've sent Darkin Rahl back to the underworld. I've gone to the Temple of the Winds in another world in order to stop the plague. I've escaped worse than this. Who knows? This might be simpler than it seems. If I do escape her, I'll come back here, so wait for a while, at least. If I can't get away from Nikki for now, try to find Zed. He might have some idea of what to do. Anne was with him the last time we saw him. She's the prelate of the Sisters of the Light, and knew Nikki for a very long time. Perhaps she knows something that, along with what Zed might be able to come up with, could help. Richard, don't worry about me. Just take care of yourself. I'll be waiting for you when you get away, so just be at ease about that much of it, and put all your effort into escaping from her. We'll wait here for a while. I promise.
I will watch over her, Lord Rahl. Don't worry about the Mother Confessor.
Richard nodded. He turned back to Kalin. His fingers on her arms tightened, his brow drew down.
I know you, and I know the way you feel. But you have to listen to me. The time has not yet come. It may never come. You may think I'm wrong in this. But if you close your eyes to the reality of what is, in favor of what you would wish, just because you are the Mother Confessor and feel responsible for the people of the Midlands, then there is no reason for us to bother hoping we'll be together again, because we won't. We will be dead. And the cause of freedom will be dead.
His face loomed closer. Above all else, our forces must not attack the heart of the Order's army. It's too soon. If you carry an assault directly into the heart of the Order, thinking you can win, it will be the end of our forces and the end of our chances. All hope for the cause of freedom and all hope to defeat the Order will be lost for generations to come. It's the same way we must use our heads with Nikki, and not fight her in a direct attack, or we will both die. You promised you would not kill yourself to free me. Don't throw that promise away by going against what I'm telling you now. It all seemed so unimportant at the moment. The only thing that mattered was that she was losing him. She would have cast the rest of the world to the wolves if she could just keep him. All right, Richard. Promise me. His fingers were hurting her arms. He shook her. I mean it. You could throw it all away if you don't heed my warning. You could destroy the hope of people for the next 50 generations. You could be the one who destroys freedom and brings a dark age upon the world. Promise me you won't. 1,000 thoughts swirled in chaotic turmoil through her mind. Kalin stared up into his eyes. She heard herself say,
I promise, Richard. Until you say so, we'll make no direct attack.
He looked like a great weight had been lifted from his shoulders. A smile spread on his face as he pulled her into an embrace. His fingers combed into her hair and cradled her head as she rose to his kiss. Her hands slipped up the backs of his shoulders as she held him. It only lasted a moment, but in that moment of stolen bliss, they shared a world of emotions. All too soon the kiss, the embrace, was over. His warm presence swirled away from her, allowing the awful weight of doom to settle firmly down atop her. Richard briefly hugged Kara before he hefted his pack onto her shoulder. He turned back at the bedroom doorway.
I love you, Kalin. Never anyone before you, nor ever after. Only you.
His eyes said it even better.
You're everything to me, Richard. You know that.
I love you too, Kara. He winked at her. Take good care of the both of you until I'm back.
I will, Lord Rahl. You have my word as Mord Sith.
He gave her a crooked smile. I have your word as Kara. and then he was gone.
I love you too, Lord Rahl,
Kara whispered to the empty doorway. Kaelin and Kara ran into the main room and stood in the doorway, watching him running across the meadow. Kara cupped her hands around her mouth.
I love you too, Lord Rahl,
she shouted. Richard turned as he ran and acknowledged her words with a wave. Together they watched Richard's dark figure flying through the dead brown grass, his fluid gait swiftly carrying him away. Just before he disappeared into the trees, he stopped and turned. Kaelin shared a last look with him, a look that said everything. He turned and vanished into the woods, his clothes making him impossible to distinguish from the trees and the undergrowth. Kaelin collapsed to her knees, sitting back on her heels as she lost control of her emotions. She wept helplessly, her head in her hands, at what seemed the end of the world. Kara squatted beside her to put an arm around her shoulders. Kaelin hated to have Kara see her cry that way, cry in such weakness. She felt a distant gratitude when Kara held her head to her shoulder and didn't say anything. Kaelin didn't know how long she sat on the dirt floor in her white confessor's dress, sobbing. But after a time, she was able to make herself stop. Her heart continued to spiral down into hopeless gloom. Each passing moment seemed unendurable. The bleak future stretched out before her, a wasteland of agony. She finally looked up and gazed about at the house. Without Richard, it was empty. He had given it life. Now it was a dead place.
What do you wish to do, Mother Confessor?
It was getting dark. Whether it was the sunset or the clouds getting thicker, Kaelin didn't know. She wiped at her eyes.
Let's begin to get our things together. We'll stay here a few days, like Richard asked. After that, anything the horses can't carry that will spoil, we'd better bury. We should board up the windows. We'll close up the house good and tight. For when we return to paradise some day?
Kaelin nodded as she looked about, trying desperately to focus her mind on a task, and not on that which would crush her. The worst part, she knew, was going to be night, when she was alone in bed, when he wasn't with her. Now the valley seemed more like paradise lost. She had trouble believing that Richard was really gone.
It seemed as if he were just off to catch some fish, or hunt berries, or scout the hills. It seemed as if, surely, he would be coming back soon. Yes, for when we return, then it will be paradise again. I guess when Richard returns, wherever we are will be paradise.
Kaelin noticed that Kara didn't hear her answer. The moored Sith was staring out through the doorway.
Kara, what is it? Lord Rahl is gone.
Kaelin rested a comforting hand on Kara's shoulder.
I know it hurts, but we must put our minds to... No.
Kara turned back. Her blue eyes were strangely troubled.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean that I can't sense him. I can't feel the bond to Lord Rahl. I know where he is. He's going up the trail up to that pass, but I can't feel it.
She looked panicked.
Dear spirits, it's like going blind. I don't know how to find him. I can't find Lord Rahl.
Kaelin's first flash of fear was that he fell and was killed, or that Nikki had executed him. She used reason to force the fear aside.
Nikki knows about the bond. She probably used her magic to cloak it, or to sever it. Cloaked it somehow.
Kara rolled her Ajeel in her fingers.
That's what it has to be. I can still feel my Ajeel, so I know that Lord Rahl has to be alive. The bond is still there. But I cannot feel it to sense where he is.
Kaelin sighed with relief.
That has to be it, then.
Nikki doesn't want to be followed, so she cloaked his bond with magic. Kaelin realized that to be protected from the Dreamwalker by the bond to Richard, people would now have to believe in him without the reassurance of feeling the bond. Their link would have to remain true in their hearts if they were to survive.
Could they do that? Could they believe in that way?
Kara stared out the doorway, across the meadow to the mountains where Richard had disappeared. The blue-violet sky behind the blue-gray mountains was slashed with blazing orange gashes. The snowcaps were lower than they had been. Winter was racing toward them. If Richard didn't soon escape and return, Kaelin and Kara would have to be gone before it arrived. Bouts of dizzying grief threatened to drown her in a flood of tears. Needing to do something, she went to her room to take off her confessor's dress. She would set to work with the task of closing up the house and preparing to leave. As Kaelin pulled her dress off, Kara appeared in the doorway.
"Where are we going to go, Mother Confessor? You said we were going to leave, but you never said where we were going to go."
Kaelin saw Spirit standing in the window, fists at her sides, as she looked out at the world. She lifted the carving off the sill and trailed her fingers over the flowing form. Seeing the statue, touching it, feeling the power of it, made Kaelin want to reach deep inside for resolve. Once before she had been hopeless, and Richard carved this for her. Her other hand fell to her side, and her fingers found Richard's sword lying across their bed. Kaelin focused her mind, ordering the turbulent swirl of despair thickening into wrath. "To destroy the Order."
"Destroy the Order?"
"Those beasts took my unborn child, and now they've taken Richard. I will make them regret it 1,000 times over, and then 1,000. I once swore an oath of death without mercy to the Order. The time has come. If killing every last one of them is the only way to get Richard back, then that's what I will do."
"You swore an oath to Lord Rahl. Richard said nothing about not killing them. Just about how?"
"My oath was not to try to drive a sword through their heart. He said nothing about bleeding them to death with 1,000 cuts. I won't break my oath. But I intend to kill every last one of them."
"Mother Confessor, you must not do that."
"Why?"
Kara's blue eyes gleamed with menace.
"You must leave half for me."
This is the end of Side 1. This program is continued on Side 2 of this cassette.